T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH.
And good morning, everybody. Good to have you on a Wednesday edition, Sports Daily, midweek. The down week before the Super Bowl, but still we start to get excited in the ramp up to Super Bowl 55 and plenty of other things going on today to discuss. Remember all of the above. Here's my buddy Shane Dennis. What's going on, Pards?
Well, for the first time in a long, long time, no new baseball Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
And one guy that got really close has been asked to be removed from the ballot in his final year of eligibility, Curt Schilling.
No.
Pretty polarizing guy, Curt Schilling.
Yeah, he is.
A lot of opinions politically. Well, he's all over the map as far as his opinions go, and being outspoken, which, by the way, shouldn't have anything to do whether you're in the whatever Hall of Fame or not. And, you know, I feel like this is speculation, but let's assume for a second that Barry Bonds didn't have his hat size grow in his last 5 or 6 years in the big
sure.
leagues, you know. I guarantee you he still would get a little blowback when it came to the vote because of how surly and standoffish he was with
right.
the media, which is not fair. That's petty. That's stupid. But it is.
Although it is the Baseball Writers Association of America that casts the ballots.
Yes, that's true.
So I'm... I mean, yeah, on one hand, you're absolutely right. There shouldn't be any kind of blowback, the term you use, because of the way that a player was with the media or certain elements of the media or whatever. That shouldn't have anything to do with it. I think you should be able to look beyond that and understand and appreciate the greatness of a player. But the human condition probably doesn't totally allow that. I'm guessing. I don't vote for the Hall of Fame. I'd have no problems if I did voting for... I'm not sure on Barry Bonds yet. Well, Barry Bonds is a different creature.
Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, both will be kind of attached to the hip. And wait till next
right.
year. You think this year was tough. Wait till you see next year's band of brothers that are going to be eligible.
Yeah.
Your boy,
it'll
Poppy,
be interesting.
A-Rod.
Yep. 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 You got a lot of guys there that are connected, have been connected to, some to stronger degrees than others, the PED and performance-enhancing era in baseball.
Yeah.
It's one of the great questions, Shane, really moving through this, trying to negotiate this time. How is baseball going to deal with it? How will we remember it? Because you are excluding, what, 15 years, 10 years or so? 15 years? I don't know. I mean, I'd have to do the math.
Tend to be conservative. But
yeah,
it could be argued longer than that. Yeah.
You're excluding 10 years of players at a time when... not to paint with a totally broad brush, that... I mean, it was kind of the Wild West in regards to this. There were plenty of players, I guess, that probably weren't doing it, but there were plenty of players that were. Baseball, to its lasting consternation, had done nothing to curtail this. There was not rules in black and white. And here we are, not really knowing how to deal with it. Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens are Hall of Famers.
Yep.
And not only are they Hall of Famers, they're first ballot Hall of Famers.
Roger Clemens won 354 games, man.
It's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. But it's how you handle it and how you deal with it and what terms you come to, I think, is remains still very much a question as for how these guys vote for it.
Well,
obviously,
eventually all these guys are going to have an opportunity to be put in by the Veterans Committee. I'll get to that in a second.
Mm-hmm.
But
sure.
The leading vote getter was Curt Schilling, who was named on 71% of the ballots, 16 votes shy of the minimum needed for selection. If you follow any of the trends of Major League Baseball Hall of Fame voting, 16 votes from one year to the next is probably doable. He could probably get on it next year. But next year is the last year that it'll be eligible. You get 10 years at a certain amount of votes to stay on the ballot. Bonds and Clemens seem to have plateaued. They're right in the 61.5% range, and that's not going to do it. They're probably not going to make the jump that Larry Walker did last year, if you recall. He made a really big jump. But in the aftermath, Schilling wrote a letter to the Hall of Fame. He also posted it on Facebook, and he asked to be removed from the writer's ballot next year, stating, quote, "I will not participate in the final year of voting. I am requesting to be removed from the ballot. I'll defer to the Veterans Committee and men whose opinions actually matter and who are in a position to actually judge a player. I don't think I'm a Hall of Famer, as I've often stated, but if former players think I am, then I'll accept that with honor," unquote. There's not a whole lot wrong with what he actually said there.
No.
He's right about the Veterans Committee actually knowing and being able to judge a player. But he also is walking a really fine line in that I'm putting all my eggs in the Veterans Committee basket when I'm only 16 votes shy from these nimrods that don't know me as a player that are voting for me.
Yeah.
And then he says, I don't think I'm a Hall of Famer, but if the Veterans Committee says I am, then I'll be happy to wear the jacket.
That's the interesting statement to me. It didn't stun me that he would take a stand like this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of who Curt Schilling is, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think we've gotten used to it. And he wears his emotions to a degree on his sleeve, not even to a degree. He wears them on his sleeve. He's not afraid to ruffle feathers, which is fine. Great. More power to him.
Well,
but
kind of. I mean,
kind of.
He tweeted something about endorsing lynching of journalists in 2016. So, I mean, yeah, I get it's free speech, but God, relax. And he also was fired as an analyst by ESPN after he posted a derogatory message about transgender people.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about Nazis and extreme Muslims in a social media post. I mean, he's more than blurred the line. He's rubbed it out and stepped all the way over to the other side. He's definitely not afraid to do that, but at what cost? And maybe he doesn't care about being in the Hall of Fame, but he cared enough to write a letter to the Hall saying,
I think he cares.
Turn my plight over to the guys that actually know what a good player looks like. So, yeah, not surprising at all that he went all the way in.
And very well could have made it next year, because you're right. That's the type of leap that is not unprecedented at all. So, but fine. The Hall of Fame doesn't have to have Curt Schilling for me to be interested in it. Whatever.
No, but... I think to your point, it ought to have Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens in it.
They're
two of the best players ever to play. And at the very least, we need to tell, the Hall of Fame is a story of the history of the sport. Is it not?
Mm-hmm.
No matter what Hall of Fame you're talking about. And these guys aren't a part of it? I've gone really, really back and forth on the steroid era guys and whether I think they should be in or not. But I'm coming
over. How many of them should be in? How many of them are Hall of Famers in your estimation? Bonds and Clemens are automatic. A-Rod probably is automatic.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Although, frankly, I believe that A-Rod came into the game doing steroids and probably did them through the entire breadth of his career.
He didn't strike me as a guy that has enough balls to do it at age 20, but maybe he did.
So I don't know.
I'm not totally in agreement there. I think once he got to the Rangers, that'd be my guess. But
okay.
But next year, man.
Well, he was if you believe that, he was well on his way headed to the Rangers. So, but, I mean, what about Rafael Palmeiro?
Yeah. Rafi, A-Rod, Big Poppy, those are the guys that you got to.
You got some guys.
You got some guys there too. You know who I think is a Hall of Famer that is not a, this is not having anything to do with the story conversation, but, Todd Helton. I think he's a Hall of Famer.
I think he'll get there. I think he'll get there. I think, 4 years in?
He's 4 years in now. He's not very far in.
At 45%. And Larry Walker got in. That helped.
Because
There's a Coors Field prejudice, especially with Eastern writers. I've learned that much. I think he'll get in. Entire career, one team. I think he's a Hall of Fame guy. So, now it may take 8 years of eligibility. He may sneak in right at the last bit, but I think he'll get in.
Yeah, next year's ballot will include, among others, A-Rod, Ortiz, Ryan Howard, Mark Teixeira, Tim Lincecum, and Jimmy Rollins. All guys that will stay on the ballot probably for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
Some guys that stayed on the ballot for next year, which surprised me, Mark Burley, Tim Hudson, Torrey Hunter. They all got over 5% of the vote, so they'll all be eligible on next year's ballot. Just a little tidbit for you there.
Mm. That is interesting. Now, I think A-Rod, or excuse me, Big Poppy, becomes an interesting study. First of all, he was primarily a DH, but he was a guy loved by the media, generally speaking.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
Loved by the media. And loved by the media as a player, and I think is still a guy that, as a part of the media, I think is still is very well-liked. How much of a difference will that make? I think his credentials are pretty solid, DH or not.
Yeah.
I think you look at him, and on first blush, you say Hall of Famer. But how will that one play out? Because he's a different kind of guy.
That's worth talking about. That's a real thing. Likeability. I mean, that's the tipping point between him and Schilling or him and A-Rod or him and Bonds, I think you have to take that into account. People liked him. He's likable. Those other guys are jerks, or perceived jerks, or standoffish, or aloof, or all that. And we do know now that that matters. And how much it matters, I don't know. I don't know. But
it didn't bother me. What was it, the first year since 2013 or so? I can't remember what year it was that we hadn't had anyone. But it didn't bother me. I kind of thought my producer asked, who gets in? And I said, if Schilling gets in, it'll be by the skin of his teeth. But I didn't think that was particularly a good chance.
Yeah, the answer
so
is
I thought it was
2013. Yeah.
Okay.
The fourth time since rules were changed to eliminate the runoff elections in 1968. So 2013, 1996, and then you got to go back to 1971. So it doesn't happen very often. And it didn't help anybody that the Veterans Committee was unable to meet in December because the winter meetings were forced to go virtual. So there will be no players at all. The Veterans Committee could have changed that, but they didn't get a chance to meet. And then this July 25th, the 2020 class will go in. That's Jeter, Walker, Ted Simmons, and the late Marvin Miller. So there's your MLB Hall of Fame update, and that is to say there is no update for 2021. That will be a little weird. But and then to kind of put a bow on the Schilling thing, he later went on to say in that letter that he wrote that he was well aware of the arc. You know, he pays attention to how many votes you get from one year to the next. He
sure
said he was. He said he knew the math and the trends and knew that 75% is the threshold for induction. And he says he didn't think he'd get it. I don't know, man.
Well, Larry Walker had said similar things right up until the day he was elected.
He made a big jump in his
yes, he did.
Last year. Larry Walker did. Mm-hmm. Big jump.
Big. Curt Schilling is statistically, and I defer to you on this, Shane, because I think that you probably have a better understanding of pitchers, but my blush is that Curt Schilling is a borderline Hall of Famer based on numbers alone. Now, where he supplied some of those numbers makes him a very intriguing possibility because he's got World Series cachet.
Mm-hmm.
He has moments. And those things are important in Major League Baseball, I think.
Yeah.
Postseason moments and what you've been a part of and what you've helped to construct and pen, I think, are important things in Major League Baseball, whether that's fair or not. I mean, Todd Helton doesn't have those moments, for instance. I mean, we're talking about... So, but Curt Schilling does.
Three times in his mid-30s, he was a Cy Young runner-up.
Yeah.
So if not for one guy, in 01, 02, and 04, he'd have won three Cy Young Awards. And I know that's a little bit of a stretch. You know, you're squinting a little bit. But he did lead the league in wins twice, complete games three times. He's got some skins on the wall. It's not
well,
like,
he checks the box that you and I talk about a lot. Generationally, was he one of the top or the top pitcher during his time in the game? Probably not the top, but he was certainly right there. I mean, he was, I think, year in and year out, Curt Schilling was a guy that you could set your watch to. Now, from a standpoint of accumulating stats, maybe not quite so much.
Man, he got better as he got older, right up until he won 15 games for the Red Sox when he was 39.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he had some blips in there, but not many. Once he was an established...
I'm very thankful for his time in Boston.
I bet you are, especially in 04.
Very thankful. Sure, absolutely.
21-6.
Whew.
I mean, once he was an established starter, he didn't have an ERA over 4 very often.
Mm-mm.
And I'm just talking about 4, let alone, you know, upper 4s. At 27, he had an ERA of 4.48. It didn't get any higher than that until he was 38.
Hmm.
It was below 4 from the time he was 27 to the time he was 38 for multiple different teams, including the Red Sox and the Diamondbacks. So, no Hall of Famers, and Curt Schilling said, I'm good. I'll leave it up to the to the Veterans Committee. I don't know if that's a rule or not. I don't know if the hall will acquiesce or not. I don't know.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Well, I guess we'll find
that
out.
That is a good we certainly will.
All right. But, What's on Tap is brought to you by Side Pockets out of Tyler Crossing. It's Why Not Wednesday out there. We will shift and talk about the historic run that Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill are on currently. They kind of, sort of, are the subject of the Twitter question. That's coming up at 9:45. We got a packed second hour. Brian Haney will join us, as he normally does, the voice of the Jayhawks, at 10 o'clock. And then at 10:25, shortly after the Shocker baseball schedule is scheduled to be released, we'll talk to Lauren Hibbs, director of ops, former player, former head coach at Charlotte, and current director of ops at Wichita State, a guy that's largely responsible for putting together a schedule, which is hard enough when it's non-pandemic times. But we'll talk to Scooter and get an idea how tough that was. Schedule's supposed to come out at 10. We'll talk to Lauren Hibbs at 10:25. That's straight ahead on Sports Daily. It's Shane Dennis, Bruce Hurdle, and Jad. It's 9:22.